Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. We're going to look at verses 8 and 9 tonight. Verse number 8 is a very familiar verse. Probably one of the most quoted verses I use while preaching. And tonight I pray that we can get something out of this to help us. To be honest with you, the goal is to be a little bit more serious about our walk and our Christian life. It's this idea of understanding what God is trying to do in our hearts and lives, and He is trying to teach us something. The importance of being aware. Being aware of what? Being aware of the enemy that we have. And tonight we're going to preach a message entitled Strong in Awareness. Strong in Awareness. Peter here has been speaking. He's closing up this first letter of 1 Peter, and he begins with the pastors. He begins then talking about spiritual maturity. He talks about humbling ourselves. It talks about casting all our cares upon Him. And then we continue on into this spot here where it talks about our enemy. And you know what? Many times we are just not aware, or at least we don't act like we're aware that we have an enemy. And Peter's reminding him here. It reminds me of that story. You remember when Luke chapter 22, and you get Jesus is having the Last Supper. And he's there, and he makes the announcement. He says, okay, one of you are going to betray me. And they start looking at each other. It's like, who is it? Who is it? Somebody even talked about how whether or not it was even going to be them. And also, while in that time, if you read that passage of Scripture in Luke 22, it actually begins to discuss how there's a problem that arises amongst them. They start asking who was going to be the greatest amongst them. And Jesus then begins to tell them, you know, that's the way the Gentiles act. That's the way the Gentiles seek. And then he focuses on Peter and he says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Now, I don't know if Simon Peter was saying that he was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. I don't know why the Lord took him and brought him right to the forefront. He knew Peter had something in his heart. Peter's getting ready to deny him later on that evening. And he brings Peter to the forefront. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know what he was doing there? He was saying, Peter, you need to be aware of something. You might think that you're something special. You might think that you're going to be the highest in the kingdom. You might think that you're the spokesman of this group. But I got something that you're not remembering. I have something that you're not aware of. He says, Satan has a desire to have you, and Satan desires to sift you as wheat. But Jesus says these wonderful words. He says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And that's where we began this series in 1 Peter. What is Peter trying to do here? Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is strengthening his brethren. And I think in here in verse number 8, I can just kind of put together in verse number 9, Jesus tells Peter, look, you're not aware of something. You're missing something. There's an important thing. You got all these plans. You got all these aspirations. You think of all these great things about yourself, but there's something that you're missing here. Because you forgot about Satan. And I think that's what he's reminding these people here in this first century church. He says, be sober, be vigilant. And he's saying, why do they need to be sober? Why do they need to be vigilant? Because your adversary, the devil, roaring as a lion, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he is just trying to get them to understand. The same thing the Lord was trying to get him to understand that night. Later on in that verse it says, and he said unto him, Lord, and this is Peter talking to Jesus, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And at that moment in time, I believe that he was telling the truth. But Jesus was saying to him, you've missed something here. You need to be prepared for this. You need to understand this. You have an enemy. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And I don't know, when I was reading that passage of Scripture and I connected those two things and thinking, man, Peter was at the height. And remember, at that point in time, they're still a little confused. They still think the kingdom was coming at that moment in time, even though Jesus had already told them, hey, look, I'm going to die. I'm going to be given the hand of the Gentiles. Peter says, that will never happen to you. But in the story here, he's saying, look, Peter, you think this about yourself, but you're missing something that is so important. You're not aware of this. Yes, you might know this in the back of your mind, but you're not living your life. You're not talking like this. You're not acting like you have an enemy. And that's what he's reminding him here. He says, the devil hath desire to have you. Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So when we read these verses 8 and 9, I want you to kind of correlate those two together, that Peter is strengthening the brethren here. Jesus says, when thou art converted, when you get things right, when you get things settled, this is what I want you to do. I want you to strengthen the brethren. And he does this, and he strengthens them and tells them to be strong in awareness. Let's read verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now here, this passage of scripture, I think that Peter is reminding this group of believers, these new believers, not to make all their plans, not to think all the things that they're going to do without remembering this one important thing. You have an enemy. You have an adversary. You need to put this in your thinking. You need to have this in your process. Because you have an enemy that wants to harm you. There's three things I see in this passage of scripture. I'm sure there's a lot more we could talk about, but three things I want to make you aware of. The first thing I want you to make you aware of is awareness of the enemy's presence. Awareness of the enemy's presence. In the book of Zechariah, chapter number 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, and he showed me Joshua. Zechariah is here writing the vision he's seen. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And so you get this idea that there's the high priest. It's Joshua. He's standing before the angel of the Lord. And it's interesting. It says, and Satan standing at the right hand to resist him. It's in Joshua 3:1. I preached this sermon a number of years ago. And it came to Jesus, and the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that have chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? And here they had Joshua that was the high priest of the day that was standing before the angel of the Lord. And who was right next to him? It says right there on his right hand side was Satan there. And what was he there to do? He's there to resist him. And I know some people talk, and I've even talked like this before, and you talk, you know, the devil is right there with you. Some people say he's on your shoulder. He's there with you. And this is a picture here. You have the high priest of the nation of Israel that's standing there, and he's standing before the angel of the Lord, and he's trying to do service, trying to do worship, and the devil is standing right there beside him, resisting him. I don't know if there's a better picture than that. I mean, that's what the devil does. I know Satan is not omnipresent. I know Satan cannot be every place, but he has imps or demons, whatever you want to call them, and he has an adversary to you. He's an enemy to you. He is trying to be there, and he's there with you, and he's resisting you at every moment, at every turn. The Bible says when in Matthew 13:9, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. So what the Bible is saying there is when the word of God is going out and the word of God is being preached, that the devil will come along and he'll capture that seed. He'll try to do whatever he can to get people not to understand. He'll do whatever he can. As you can imagine, you think about it as the preacher of the word of God is. He's preaching the word of God, that there's something there that's trying to resist them. And this is why we need to pray. This is why we need to be aware, because we do have an enemy. We do have an enemy that's there, that's trying to stop us. He's there every moment trying to resist us. This verse refers to something that the world doesn't even believe exists today. The sad thing is that many people, unbelievers, have this picture of the devil in some type of red suit with horns and a tail and a pitchfork, and that he's out there laughing and just poking people. They don't think the devil even exists. But, you know, the Bible tells us he exists. The Lord knows he exists. God knows he exists. The devil is real and he is an enemy. But are we aware of that? Do we live our lives being aware of that? This first century church needs to be reminded of that. And I think that's something that we need to remind ourselves of tonight. He must be real. He's called an adversary. This word means an opponent, an enemy. He is called the devil, which means he is a slanderer or a false accuser. You think of how this same one who attacked Job back in Job 1 and Job 2 is the same devil. And what was he doing to Job back then? He was trying to prove to God that Job was not a faithful servant. Job was a perfect man, meaning he was mature. He eschewed evil. He did what was right. Satan saw that. Satan put a bullseye on his back. And he says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to harm him. I'm going to attack him. I'm going to try to hurt him. And this is what the devil is. He's real. And that's why the Bible is telling us we need to be aware of this. Not only does it tell us that we need to be aware of this, it goes as far as saying to be sober. What does the word sober mean? I think it has the idea of to wake up, to be on guard, to have a self-controlled mind when it comes to this. It's the opposite of being careless. There's too many people that play Christianity today. They look at their lives as some type of playground, and they go around and they see a little sin, and they want to push a little button, or they want to have a little enjoyment a little while and just run back to the church or run back to the Bible. And they think of their lives as some type of just, what can I do to make myself happy? Can I go playing around with this and playing around with that? They forget this. They're not aware of this. They have an enemy that's looking to devour them. They mess around with sin, and they don't look at it as a battlefield like the Bible puts it. They look at it as a playground. And Peter is reminding this first century church, because I'm sure it's the same problems that we have today, as we forget so often that we do have an enemy. We need to be aware of his presence. He even goes as far as saying, be sober, be vigilant. With this word vigilant, is the same thing as being watchful. He's reminding them there's a battlefield out there. When you're walking down your life, you shouldn't be just walking up with your heads in the clouds. Instead, you should have a heavenly mindset, but you need to also remember that every place you walk and how you go, we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. I get accused. And I know people don't do it in the wrong way. People do it in with their best intentions at heart. But I get sometimes told, especially from people that I know outside the church, you know, you're too strict. Or your kids are going to rebel someday. Or why? What's wrong with this? And what's wrong with that? And what's wrong with this? And why can't they do this? And why can't, you know, I hear that sometimes. And I don't mind it. I like the fact that it gives me a chance to be able to tell people why I believe. And if they let me give a chance from the Bible, it says, look, you might not believe this, but you know, this is why I believe the Bible says. And yeah, I might take it a little step too far in some areas, but you know why I do that? It's because the Bible tells me to be sober. It tells me to be watchful. It tells me to keep an eye out. And it says it tells me to be vigilant. It tells me to be aware of the presence of the wicked one that wants to take my young people, my children, the children of this church, and devour them. So that's why that's the reason why we need to walk circumspectly. That's the reason why we need to wake up and not just live our lives saying, oh, what's the big deal? But instead, get on our knees and pray. Instead, get in our Bibles and look for biblical principles of how to model our lives. And as we model our lives, we say, look, I want to be sober. I want to be vigilant. And you see that next phrase it talks about, it says, because your adversary, the devil. Now, I know we talked about Zechariah, how the devil was standing there and was resisting on his right side. But Peter doesn't say, hey, look, my adversary. Peter doesn't say, hey, the other 12 disciples' adversaries. Peter doesn't say, hey, the preacher's adversary, or just the missionaries or the deacons or the Sunday school classes. He uses the word your as a personal thing. If you're a believer today and you're a Christian, guess what? You have an adversary. It's your adversary. It's not generic. It's not just one adversary. It is a personal adversary that you have against you. And you better get ready to fight against it, because your adversary is going to keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming until he renders you useless for God. He's not going to just say, okay, well, I'm going to go pick on Pastor Pease for a minute. Then I'm going to go over here. I'm going to pick on his wife for a minute and leave Pastor Pease alone. And I'm going to go over here to Miss Patty. And I'm going to go over to Mr. Fire. No, it doesn't work that way. He's going to come after you until you stop living for him. You know, why was Job attracted to him? Why was it that Job was attracted to him? Because Job was a man that was giving a good testimony for God. Why was it that they were looking for Peter. They wanted to sift him. It's like, because Peter wanted to do something for the Lord. And all his zeal, he says, look, I would die for you. I would go to prison for you. You know what? When he lost sight of what Christ wanted for his life is when he started to struggle. I want you to understand this, that if you might say, well, the devil's not bothering me, it's probably because you're not living the way you're supposed to. His desire, if you're a Christian and if you're a believer, he hates the fact that you know Christ. He hates that fact that you're part of the family. He knows he can't do anything to get you to stop going to heaven. But you know what he can do? He can cause you to render your life useless. And that's what he's trying to do. And if you're not doing something for God, yes, he might not be bothering you. But if you're trying to do something for him, boy, he's going to come after you. You have an adversary. It is a personal enemy. And I think many times we're too lax when it comes to the devil's presence. Your enemy has been trying to get you to do wrong. He's trying to get you to think wrong. But the Bible puts it this way. He doesn't say, hey, look, he's just some type of guy in a pitchfork and you don't have to worry about him until Halloween comes around or this or that. No, he says, put on the whole armor of God. He says that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We got to be aware of his presence. We got to realize that he's there. We got to stop playing. We got to say, you know what? I have an enemy. I have an adversary. We need to do something about this adversary. I know that terrorism was something that has become a buzzword since 9/11, but you know, lots of times people weren't aware of the fact that of the great threat that terrorists could be to our nation until they took those airplanes and they flew them into the World Trade Towers. And now today everyone is aware of what a terrorist is and aware of what terrorism is trying to do in the Middle East and aware. And you might be on one side of the issue or on the other side of the issue. That's not the point. We're aware of it now, and they have changed the way they do things today because of the fact that there's an enemy and they were trying to fight against this enemy. You know what? We do not need to let something bad happen to our lives before we realize that we're fighting against an enemy. The Bible tells us right there. Jesus, I think at that moment in time when he was talking to Peter, Satan hath desire to have you, they may sift you as wheat. You know what Peter could have done? He could have fallen on his knees and said, Lord, I don't want to be sifted as wheat. Lord, I don't want to deny you. Lord, I don't want to do this. Please tell me whatever I have to do. I am willing to do it right now so I don't deny you tonight. Please tell me what I have to do. But you know what? That's just not the case. That's not what he does. He dismisses the thought. It would never enter his mind, and he forgets that there's an enemy. Second thing I want you to see is we need to be not only aware of his presence, but we need to be aware of the enemy's desire. The enemy's desire. You know, sometimes what confuses people about terrorists or terrorism is what are they trying to do? I know they're trying to strike hearts into the fear of the enemy. I know that they serve, many times they're crying out, they say they serve Allah. And Islam, if you read the Quran, is a very, very vicious religion. I know they'll tell you lots of other things on the TV, but we need to be aware of the enemy's desire. What is it the devil wants to do with you? Now look what it says. It says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And this word devour, I know that most people use it when it comes to TV, or excuse me, when it comes to food. You know, he devoured the whole hamburger in one bite. He got rid of it. He demolished it. It was gone. And this is what the devil wants to do with your life. He wants to chew you up. He wants to spit you out. He wants to make you useless for God. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have love, life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, I thought about this for just a few minutes, and I wish I would have had more time with this sermon, with this message, because I love these verses. I just began thinking about some of the lives that the devil has destroyed. If we went into our own life, and we went back and we looked at it and say, man, what happened to so-and-so? I've known a few guys who've committed suicide over the years. Guys who have growing up in a Christian home, growing up in a Christian school, and I don't know whether or not they were saved or not. You can have that discussion, that argument, whatever you want. But, you know, I saw what they did, what the devil did to their lives. They got into music they shouldn't have been into, or they got into some type of sin they shouldn't get into, and they thought it was going to bring them pleasure. They thought they could have fun, and this and that. You know what ended up happening? You see a boy that's 22 years old living in a casket, lying in a casket. Why did that happen? I don't think he was aware of the enemy. You think about the story of Judas. And I think about Judas walked with Christ for 3.5 years. I can show you in the Bible why I don't believe he ever came to know Christ as his personal Savior, put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But where was he at the end? He's hanging from a rope. He thought if he could have that money would make him happy. The devil told him that lie. He bought into that lie. He swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. And in the end, he throws that money back, and he's looking for repentance. He goes to the wrong spot, and he ends up killing himself. This is what the devil wants for you. This is what the devil desires for you, because how many people mock the name of Judas? I mean, mock the name of Jesus because even one of his own followers. And we see story after story in the Bible. You think about what happened to David in his life when he committed that sin with Bathsheba. And, you know, what did he do? He caused blasphemy of the name of, he gave the enemies. I mean, but you also see the story of Job. And I know Job, he ended up doing what was right and everything was good. But you think about what he did to Job. And it's kind of cool when you can see in the pictures, and his mindset was the devil had no problem taking 10 of his children and wiping them off the face of the earth. Why did he do it? Because Job had a good testimony. That's how fierce, that's how wicked. The devil doesn't play by some type of game or rules. That's everything has to go through the Father, and God allowed him to do these things. But, you know, he wiped out his whole family. He wiped out all his animals. He wiped out everything. Even caused boils from the head to the bottom of his feet. I mean, that's how bad and how wicked the devil is. He's our enemy. He's able to do things. So what is his desire for your life? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what he wants to do with your life. And I think about different Bible characters. I think of the story of Achan. He stole those things from Jericho. But it wasn't just Achan there dying. But can you imagine what Achan felt like when his family was there too? What is that? That's what the devil can do to your life. What is that? That's what the devil can do. And I want you to understand, we need to be aware of the enemy's desire. We not just say, okay, look, there's a awareness. He's over there. There's a presence over there. But he can't hurt me. He can hurt you. He can do things to you. And sometimes we're aware when we have problems and we have little things that are going on, we're aware that this could be an issue or this could be a problem. But we need to open up our eyes to what the devil really can do to a life. How many times have we seen lives ruined? And we don't have to look at Bible characters. We can just look at family members. We can even look at people who are going down that road at this very moment. And we might even be someone ourselves that are going down this road at this very moment. And we're allowing the devil to just do whatever he wants in our life. He's wreaking havoc in our lives because we're not aware of what he truly desires to do to us. He wants to render us useless. He wants to lay us flat. He doesn't want us to do anything for God. He's going to do whatever he can to stop you from being saved. And secondly, if you are saved, he's going to do whatever he can to strike fear in your heart. There's a couple of things. A lion, you know, why is he referenced to a lion here? A lion is ferocious. He is forceful. A lion is 14 to 21 times stronger than a man. Satan is far stronger than any human being. We cannot fight the devil on our own. Even Michael the archangel wouldn't fight the devil in Jude 9. Lions are ferocious. They can consume 30% of their own body weight in one sitting. Known as the king of the beasts, king of the jungle, they can encounter and they demand fear and respect. You know what? I don't think we should mess around with the devil. The Bible says we should resist it. We're going to get to that in a second. The lions are fearful too. A mature lion's roar can be heard up to 5 miles away. Lions do most of their roaring at night. And the reason why they roar in the first place is to create fear in the hearts of those who fear them. This is just what the devil does also. He roars to create fear in the hearts of children and God's children. Why? Because fear paralyzes faith. He tries to convince us that because we've sinned, we've fallen, and we've failed, and God's not going to love us anymore. He tries to have fear of doubt. He roars different things. He tries to paralyze us in our faith. But we need to remember what his desire for our life is. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to get closer to God. Once we hear these things, we say, boy, I'm not walking close enough to God because this is what I have an enemy and he desires to do this to me. I need to get closer to God to stay away from this. The last thing is I want you to see is be aware of the enemy's vulnerability. Be aware of the enemy's vulnerability. The cool thing about this is, we don't have to be prey to the devil. He gives us victory if we choose to claim it. Look what it says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now look at what it says in verse number 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It's saying here that we can resist the devil. He is suspect to something. And there's a couple of things here I want you to get, and then we'll be finished, is that we can win this battle. We can win this victory. There's some great verses when it comes to this. First, we find in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18, says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, it's saying that we need to get suited up. It means that we need to resist them. It doesn't say that we need to run away. I know the Bible says that we need to flee youthful lust. I get that. That's a sin. That's a temptation. We need to get away from that temptation. But the Bible says that we can actually resist the devil. The Bible says that we can take all the whole armor of God. Why does it say that? It says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. That we can resist the devil. It's sort of like if we had an army that was here and we were in battle armor, the enemy was coming, we weren't running away. We were standing here and we were going to resist the devil and what he is trying to do. And how do we do that? We got to be sober. We got to be vigilant. We got to be aware that there is an enemy, be aware of his desires, and we need to stand up and be willing to fight against it. It keeps on going. It tells us how we can do this. Having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is of the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The Bible says that we can be steadfast in the faith, that we can stand and resist the devil. We do not have to be another notch on the devil's gun. We do not have to let them take away our honor, our purity, our families, our lives. We can take a stand and we can stand against the devil. And one of the great verses in the Bible is found is in James 4:7, where the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, the great part is that most people think of that verse and they said, okay, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I bet you most people can quote that. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You say, Pastor, I've been resisting the devil. I've been resisting the devil, but for some reason he just is not fleeing. He just keeps on staying there and the temptation is still there. It doesn't go away. You know why? The reason why is because it's the first part. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. The first thing you have to do and say, in my life, I'm going to do what God wants me to in every area of my life, and I'm going to submit my life over to God. Then when I resist the devil, he's going to flee from you because I have not given him an open door. But so often we sit there and we allow junk and we allow trash to come into our hearts and trash to come into our mind and junk that we looked at and junk that we've listened to. And then when it comes time for something that we want to resist, you say, okay, I'm resisting the devil. Why isn't he running away? It's because we haven't submitted to him first. We haven't surrendered to him first and say, okay, Lord, whatever it is you want, this is not my life, this is your life. And when we submit, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We need to learn that the true victory comes for those who walk in faith. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If we want to have victory, it's our faith. It's submission. It's understanding that this is God's life, not ours. And that we resist him by faith, the devil will flee. And the Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the reason why so many people give in to temptation and they stop resisting is because they think they have no choice. They see the temptation is there over and over and over, and they feel like they have to sin. But we learned in Romans chapter 6, we're not servants to sin anymore. That we've been bought with a price and our sins have been nailed to the cross. And because of that, we can have victory by faith, believing that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Do you believe that tonight? I know that's a hard thing to grab a hold of sometimes. I know that sometimes it doesn't feel like that, does it? Sometimes when we're faced with the temptation, faced with the sin, faced with being smart aleck or being angry or being bitter, we feel like we have to do with what we're being tempted with. But the Bible says that we can resist the devil. The Bible says that we can have victory over this world, even our faith. The Bible says that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. We can have victory. So these are three things I want you to be aware of tonight. It requires that we grow in the Lord, and it requires that we strengthen our walk with him through prayer and through daily Bible reading. Three things we need to remember. The first thing is, remember you have an enemy. I remember an illustration I read, and I think I've said it before. It's the story of Gilligan's Island. I don't remember the Gilligan's Island issue. I don't think I ever watched the episode. I remember reading the illustration. And at one of the Gilligan Island ones, there was this guy that was from Japan that thought the war was still going on, and he tried to take the crew of the SS Minnow captured. And he took them and he captured them because he thought the war was still going on. And the war had been going on, had stopped many years earlier. And that's pretty sad, you know, not to even know that the war had stopped. The illustration is this. The only thing sadder than that is to not realize that there is a war going on. You know, in our lives, we got all around us. We have a spiritual warfare that is happening. You have people that are praying for you. You have things you're trying to resist. You're trying to grow in your Christian walk. There is a spiritual warfare that's happening all around of us. Some of us aren't even willing to pick up our armor and put our armor on. I'm not even talking about being offensive about it. I'm talking about standing and just doing what we're supposed to do. Some of us are just sitting on the sideline, or worse yet, we're sitting around without being protected at all and saying, devil, have as much freedom and fun as you want in my life and my heart. We need to be aware that there is an enemy. We need to be aware of his presence. Realize there is something that is after you, something that is after your children, something that's after your grandchildren, something that's after your church, your pastor, his family, your wife, your husband. There's someone that's after you. Now, live your life like there's someone after you. If there was some type of lunatic gunman that was in our area tonight, and he was going around and he was shooting people, you know, more than likely, most people are going to do is they're going to get to their houses and they're going to find ways to protect themselves. They're going to do things to help protect themselves from this lunatic. Some of you guys, I know, might get your own guns out and go after them. That's just foolishness. But, you know, most of us would try to figure out ways to protect ourselves from the person who said they're going to come after us, attack us. We have a Bible that tells us the devil's coming after us. He's walking about. He's seeking whom he can devour. He's looking for the person he can devour. And we don't care. We just still live our lives like there's no enemy. There's no repercussion to sin. Everything's going to be okay. It's not a big deal. We need to be aware of his presence. We need to be aware of his desires. He's not someone who's just going to slap you on the face and run away and giggle. That's not him. That's not what he desires for you. Look at Judas's life. Look at Achan's and his family's life. Look at Korah's life, and look at the many different characters. Look at Cain's life. I mean, you can go over and over. Look at all those people's lives that in the day of Noah, besides the eight that got on the ark. You see what the devil, when he has his way in a life, what it does. Go look at the drug rehabs and the alcohol rehabs. Go look at what the devil has done to so many lives. That's what he desires for a Christian's life. And last but not least, be aware of the fact he is vulnerable. You can resist him. You can stand there for him. You can humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He'll lift you up. Cast all your cares upon him. Then be sober. Then be vigilant. Because you have an adversary. Don't just play around with it. You have someone who wants to harm you and your family. Act like it. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time.